This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin, and every night we're here to answer your questions.
My name's Jim Shores, calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
My name is Caitlin.
My name is Dave Bull of Corvallis, Montana.
I am a bartender in Columbus, Ohio.
I don't even know what day it is.
I've been looking for a job, but I haven't been able to find anything.
My question is,
now that COVID-19 exists, I'm wondering if it will become a regular virus.
I'm wondering how you think that Ramadan is going to be impacted.
What ended the 1918 Spanish flu?
Thank you.
NPR journalists and outside experts are on hand to offer solid facts, to tell you what we know, and to correct some of the misinformation that's been floating around. And when we don't know something, we'll tell you that too. Send us your questions about health issues, the economy, or even just how to adjust to this new reality we're all dealing with at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation. And every night we begin by answering the question, what happened today? The White House began laying out a plan to reopen the country.
My administration is issuing new federal guidelines that will allow governors to take a phased and deliberate approach to reopening their individual states.
Also, tensions are building in Michigan as protests continue against the governor's order to stay at home.
Like landscapers, I mean, come on, let landscapers, this is their prime time. They're not going to survive if it's closed down for much longer.
In New Jersey, an anonymous tip led the police to the remains of 17 people at a nursing home believed to be COVID-19 patients. Governor Phil Murphy is calling for an investigation.
I am also outraged that bodies of the dead were allowed to pile up in a makeshift morgue at the facility. New Jerseyans living in our long-term care facilities deserve to be cared for with respect, compassion, and dignity.
And in more grim economic news, the number of people filing for unemployment climbed by another 5.2 million. In just 4 weeks, more than 22 million people have lost their jobs because of the virus. We're going to talk more about this now with NPR economics correspondent Chris Arnold. Chris, welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
And I don't know any other way to say this. I mean, these latest unemployment numbers are staggering. Can you try to put this in some kind of perspective for us?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to come up with a word. Staggering, scary, historic, you know, cataclysmic. 22 million jobs lost. That is about 10 years of job growth. Basically, all the jobs since the Great Recession wiped out in a single month. I mean, it's just, you know, we haven't seen anything like this. I mean, probably since the Great Depression. This is different, though, because a lot of these jobs are going to come back. I mean, at least we hope so. People talk about a V-shaped recovery, which means, okay, it'll snap back quickly. A lot of people are thinking, well, maybe not V-shaped, but, you know, hopefully it won't last that long, although the crystal ball is very hazy. The one thing that we can say about the 22 million people is that these are 22 million people who managed to apply for unemployment benefits. And there's sort of a glass half full thing there that, I mean, the system for signing up for unemployment was not designed to handle this many people. So it's sort of miraculous that, you know, 10 times as many people as we've ever seen before were able to get crammed through this system. And now money, before too long, is going to start flowing to these people. And it's already flowing to millions of them.
All right. Well, we'll keep looking for that silver lining, however thin it may be, Chris.
Okay, so I'm an optimist.
Right. As you would imagine, there are a lot of questions about unemployment, so we're going to try to answer as many as we can today. So, and first, this is something that a lot of unemployed homeowners are dealing with. This is Dave in Dallas, Texas, and he has a disturbing story. Here it is.
I just got word back from my mortgage company that they are going to suspend payments for 3 months, but instead of tacking them on to the end of the term of the mortgage, like a deferral, that under the CARE Act, all they can do is require that I pay the 3 months mortgage payments in 3 months in one lump sum. This seems to defeat the purpose of the relief that I'm looking for, as I don't think I'm going to be able to pay 3 months worth in 3 months in one lump sum when I can't come up with 1 month's payment now. So wanted to just verify that this is all they can offer, or can they offer a deferral instead in some way? Thank you.
Chris, that just doesn't sound right. So I hope you had a chance to check into that.
Yeah, I called Dave. And first of all, yeah, what his lender is telling him is just absolutely wrong. It's not true. And this is a problem that a lot of homeowners we're hearing about. They're getting this kind of an answer from their lender. It's actually called a mortgage servicer, the company that you write your check to. And we should say big banks, a lot of the big banks like Bank of America is doing the right thing. And okay, let me back up a second and explain. The way this is supposed to work is that under the CARES Act and other regulations, the vast majority of homeowners should be qualified to get what's called a forbearance. So, you know, you lose your job, you call up, you say, I don't have any money, I can't pay my mortgage. And, you know, for 3 months, 6 months, up to a year, if needed, you should be allowed to basically hit pause on your mortgage payments. And then if at the end of that, there's a bunch of different possible outcomes for paying it back. You know, if you miraculously have $20,000, $30,000 sitting around that you could just pay all those payments back with, great. But most people won't have that. And then you absolutely can extend the term of the loan in various ways. So you can just go back to making your normal payment. And those payments, it's not like it's free money. They get put on the end of your loan term. But the reason this is happening, we think, and what a lot of experts think, is that there are these kind of smaller to mid-size mortgage servicing companies that collect these checks, and they've got big cash flow problems if too many people take a forbearance. And it looks like they're trying to just scare people away from getting what Congress was trying to give them to help them. And it's really bad. I mean, experts are saying it's really appalling, but it's happening.
Okay, so now we're going to dive into some of the ways of getting unemployment benefits, and we'll start with Susan in Los Angeles.
I've been looking for a job, but I haven't been able to find anything, and now that millions more people are on unemployment, I'm obviously also being affected by coronavirus, so I'm wondering if under the CARES Act, I'm allowed to get either increased or extended unemployment benefits. Thank you.
Chris, can she?
Yeah, it's hard to tell all the details from that short thing. But basically, for somebody who's exhausted their unemployment, it sounds like because they were laid off, and now the CARES Act comes along and it's even harder to find a job, you should be able to get 13 more weeks of benefits. I think the full expanded benefits. There's one catch, though, that you had to have run out of your unemployment by July 1st of 2019. And the idea there is, well, you know, if you haven't had a job in 5 years, you can't have somebody coming forward and saying, oh, now I want unemployment. You know, so they had to draw the line somewhere. But basically, yes, you can get the extended benefits.
If you have a question for NPR's Chris Arnold, keep them coming. Send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation, or you can go to Twitter and use the hashtag NPR Conversation. And Chris, our next question is about furloughed employees. Let's listen.
This is Carrie in Minnesota. Just informed that I may be furloughed for as long as the end of the year. How long am I able to draw unemployment? Thank you.
Chris, what do we know?
This is a quick one. Assuming she's qualified, it sounds like she is, that she would get unemployment 39 weeks, about 9 months. Hopefully people don't have to be out of work that long, but that's how much you can get.
All right. Our next question is from Kelsey.
I am a bartender in Columbus, Ohio. I'm receiving unemployment benefits of $104 per week. March 15th is when I applied. I'm curious about the $600 extra unemployment benefit from the federal government. Will that be retroactive from when I received benefits on March 15th? Or will I get that extra $600 just whenever the government feels like rolling that out?
Yes, it is retroactive, and I think it's retroactive to March 29th. It might depend on the state, but no, you're going to get a big, nice check coming. And Kelsey's a great example, too. Nobody can live on $100 a week, so this is why the federal government did this, so people can basically have a living wage, a real income during this crisis.
Next, we have Susan from Maine.
Does anyone actually know when all the self-employed workers who are necessarily furloughed during state lockdowns will even get an opportunity to apply for the CARES Act unemployment compensation that we've been promised?
Gosh, Chris, we've heard this from so many people. Yeah, what do you know?
This is a big mess, right? So the contract workers, freelancers, you know, the under the CARES Act, they're supposed to get access to, but the problem is we've got systems where the computers date back to the 1970s, and trying to integrate that into the system, it's just taking a long time. A lot of states are saying, give us 2 or 3 weeks and we'll be there. But I mean, we're already a month in. I shouldn't laugh, but this, you know, it's like, it's a problem. And the state of California is saying in 2 weeks, the good news there, they're saying in 2 weeks, they'll have it up and running. And then it's only going to take 24 to 48 hours to get you your money. We'll see if they're able to pull that off. One thing, this makes those emergency cash payments really important, those $1,200 payments or more if you have kids, et cetera. If you go to irs.gov and put in your bank info, you can get direct deposit, and that's a way that contract workers can get some money more quickly while they're waiting.
Well, Chris, you had some hopeful news in there. We're going to keep a good thought for all of the people who wrote in and all the people we didn't get a chance to get their questions to. We do appreciate all of them. That's NPR's economics correspondent, Chris Arnold. Chris, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can hear much more of our extensive coverage when you download the NPR One app. Go to the Explore tab, click on the coronavirus outbreak for a curated stream of stories. Keep those questions coming at npr.org/national conversation. This is the National Conversation. And up next, the lawyer answers more of your questions about being an essential worker.